Marks, Mohammed or Christ? A conversation on the coast of Cyprus. One Saturday evening, a number of years ago, the speaker was preaching to the crowd strolling along the seafront at Larnaca in Cyprus. The subject was forgiveness of sins, conquest of death and eternal life. At the close of the meeting, five or six young men remained to ask questions. One was a Cypriot Turk, a Mohammedan, a policeman in uniform, with whom the following conversation in substance took place. He was in a state of considerable agitation and demanded, "Why did you not speak about Mohammed? Why can't I believe in Mohammed? Why can't I have faith in him?" Speaker: "Where is Mohammed?" Turk: "He is dead." Oh, speaker: "That's very interesting. Has he been dead a long time?" Turk: "Oh yes, about 1300 years. Speaker: "Is he buried?" "Oh yes." Speaker: "Where is his tomb?" "Oh, at Medina, about 200 miles north of Mecca." "If you had a spade and went there, could you dig up his bones?" "Certainly," said the Turk. "There is no doubt that his body lies there." Speaker: "Then you've answered your own question. I spoke of the putting away of sins and its result, the conquest and abolition of death. I didn't speak of Mohammed, for obviously he had not settled those questions for himself, because he's dead." "He's still dead, according to you, and his dust still lies at Medina. He couldn't help himself in these vitally important matters. How is he going to help us after 1300 years? That is why you cannot have faith in Mohammed. A faith whose founder is dead is as dead as its founder. When it comes to the question of sin, the root, and death, its fruit, there is only one candidate who merits serious attention. Buddha's dead. Mohammed's dead. Confucius is dead. Zoroaster's dead. But there's only one candidate that merits serious attention, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For he claims to have put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and he proves he has done so by rising from the dead. That is why I didn't speak about Mohammed. Because on these questions he's got nothing to say to us. The policeman seemed quite satisfied with his answer to his question. But then a very satisfied Greek Cypriot, nominal Christian, stepped forward and said, "But I don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Speaker: "Oh really? Why not?" Greek, after very considerable hesitation, "Because I'm a communist." "But that's not a reason for denying Christ's resurrection. In any case, what is a communist?" As the young fellow didn't appear to know, the speaker defined a communist in religious matters as a scientific materialist who refuses to believe anything not susceptible to scientific proof, that is, sense data. This definition obviously flattered the Greek's vanity, for he proudly asserted that he was a scientific materialist, not seeing that he was going up the garden path. "Well," I said, "there are five senses. Let us begin with sight. The Lord Jesus Christ was seen after his resurrection over a period of 40 days by single individuals, men and women, by groups such as the 11 disciples, by special witnesses such as Peter and James his brother, and finally by 500 persons at one time, most of whom were alive in AD 59. More than this, He was not only seen and recognized as a living man, but as the same man, Jesus Christ, who had been crucified, being identified by the wounds in his hand, his feet and side. So he was not only a man, but the same man. Now for touch, or tactile sensation, our Lord invited the very proofs you are asking for, young man. There was a scientific materialist amongst the disciples, Thomas. And our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Touch me and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." So by this sense, they demonstrated that he was a living man and more, that he was the same man, Christ Jesus, who had been crucified, by thrusting the finger into the print of the nails of the hand into his wounded side. He was not only found to be a man by this sense, but the same man. Now for hearing. They, the witnesses, heard him speak. Now it is well known that there are no two voices the same in the whole world. And one, at least, of his disciples, Mary Magdalene, recognized him entirely by his voice. But more than this, they recognized him as the same man, Christ Jesus, by the complete continuity of his conversation and thoughts with his speeches and thoughts before his crucifixion. This, I may say, is a very powerful factor in proving the continuance of human personality after death. So, they both heard him, and they heard him express the same thoughts and personality as he had before his death and resurrection. He was the same man. Now, for taste. Apparently our Lord wished to satisfy as far as possible the demand for sense data in this particular case also. For he said, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he ate before them. Now matter can be only joined with matter. And so by this he demonstrated that he was a man. There remains but one more sense, smell. Human beings are unable to recognize persons by this sense, so it is not mentioned. "Now," I said to this young man, "you have taken scientific ground in this matter, so we are waiting for you to hear you disprove these facts or demolish the Bible explanation of them and provide a better one. To provide exactly the same sense data against the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we've provided for it. In scientific circles, a statement of unbelief, unsupported by valid reasons, carries no weight. Unbelief must have its reasons just as much as belief. In the law courts, a case which cannot be disproved stands by default. So are we waiting for you to produce evidence, scientific evidence, you put yourself in the scientific court, to disprove the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Well," said the young man, "I still just don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead." I replied, "That is not a scientific or reasonable reply. It is clearly based on ignorance and prejudice. I call on you to produce good scientific evidence that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. You took scientific ground when you stated that you do not believe, that you did not believe because you were a communist, a scientific materialist, and wanted, say, sense data. It is on that ground you must stand." After a very long pause, the young man replied, "I haven't got any grounds like that for disbelieving in the resurrection of Jesus Christ." "Well," I said, "then you'd be wise to study the evidence that I've given you. The many infallible proofs by which Christ showed himself alive after his sufferings. Because if you do not, and he has risen, he's going to be your judge." Thus our conversation closed. It is interesting to note that Zeno, the son of Meneses, the founder of the Stoic system of philosophy, was born in Larnaca, where this conversation took place. He is hailed as a great philosopher, but his philosophy found no satisfactory solution of the problem of sin and death, for he committed suicide, as did many of his followers. That the philosophy of communism has been equally unsuccessful in settling them, the tomb of its founder, Marx, in Highgate Cemetery, London, bears irrefutable witness. He's dead. And a faith whose founder is dead is as dead as its founder. But ours is a living faith. For it is founded on him who liveth and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. Thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.